You are listening to Fly Like an Angel. Fly Like an Angel is supported by arrangemymortgage.com.
Good luck for us getting through this episode without upsetting anyone or offending anyone. But I'm back with Trevor and Lee. How are we all? How are we?
Oh, full of it, as usual.
I'm leggy, but I'm not going to use it as an excuse.
Why is that, Lee? Did you have a trip down to Yeovil?
Yes. No, the trip was all right. It was the football part of it that wasn't, I guess.
It was the 100 minutes in the middle that spoiled it, wasn't it?
Yeah. The disrespectful nature of Yeovil's approach to having to play against teams like us.
Yeah.
Wasn't particularly keen on.
Tunbridge Angles.
It was pretty shit, wasn't it, really? Sorry, first swear word of the evening. But it was, though. What a dump. You know, you'd have thought that, you know, it's like, I'm not exactly expecting the red carpet rolled out. You're stuffed in the corner of a stand with, you know, crap food, and it's 3 miles from anywhere. There's no pub within any distance. There's rubbish food when you get there, and what a miserable bunch of people.
I suppose it depends really if you're watching the game from the director's box or not.
Yeah, well, if you blagged your way to the director's box. As someone who I think Sophie said she wouldn't touch with a barge pole as a director, but somehow you end up sitting in there, then good for you, Lee.
But so go on.
She wasn't there.
The hardcore 66 at least got to see that linesman's incompetence.
So it was actually
in front of them.
It was actually 67. So for those that don't know, Lee sent for a picture from.
No.
Was it 66, including you?
No, there was four of us in there.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. So it was 70. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
So go on then, Lee. What was the context?
6 and 4 freeloaders then, was it?
Yeah.
What was the content?
Context of you being in the director's box at Yeovil.
We happened to come out the door when the ex-chairman was there and he caught our eye and said, why don't you sit here? And then we were made to feel semi-unwelcome by the... By the Yeovil, I don't know what he was. He was like a stadium manager, and he was very much, are you meant to be here? Because we've decided we'd like to allocate these seats in the director's home away box to some random fans that we... And I kind of thought, well, you could have put them in the home director's bit, but obviously you're sneaking your mates in the stadium most games. You know, it just seemed a bit odd. And then asked us to move, so we moved slightly. And then a woman came and said, are you meant to be sitting here? And we're like... in the director's box, what's it going to do with you?
Yeah, you've got all your privileges now. You're like, well,
yeah. Yeah, new one, love.
Who are you? Yeah. I'm Lee Locke, don't you know?
Yeah, exactly that. And it's just on the edge of interbreeding country, isn't it, down there? So you know what I mean.
I like how I did that interview for the Yeovil podcast, and I like how this is the first podcast I've done afterwards. So if he listened, the guy was really nice, and he was really. If he listens in, I wonder what they said about us. And we've got 3 minutes in. We've just absolutely slated them.
I mean, they've been relegated 8 times in 3 years, haven't they? I mean, they want to shut up.
Do you know what? I have to say, I think I obviously didn't go. I couldn't make it in the end. I think there is, you've got to look at, there's got to be a reason why you're in the National League South, right? So, you know.
Well, in their case, it's obviously utter incompetence. You know, because why else would you start in the Championship and end up there?
I tell you what they have got, though, that's very, very impressive. They've got Yeovil Town carpet. Oh, you go into the main stand, yeah? Oh, they've got their own carpet. Very impressive.
I'd like to point out that only those who blagged their way into the director's spots were treated as carpet. The rest of us were just grateful the roof didn't leak.
Did you have a Yeovil Town prawn sandwich as well, Lee? Or?
No, we weren't allowed to do that.
No.
They weren't going to let me near the Yeovil Town officials. Can you imagine the Yeovil Town chairman and saying, "Oh, it's very nice of you to deliberately spell our name wrong in your fucking program, mate." Deliberately, you know, yeah, so it's a funny to do that.
They took that off our post-match video for the last game.
So yeah, to be fair, they managed to get our own
output. They managed to get it right on the front cover, though. So, you know, nice work.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they emailed our club for information and we sent them Tunbridge Angles, if I'm honest, the way things have been out recently.
And about four words on the manager and a picture of Wagstaff and then no mention of any other players at all. It was a really, really lame effort from them.
Was it? Yeah. Well, let's use all of our anger. We're recording this on Tuesday after an interesting bank holiday weekend of fixtures. And can anyone tell so far that we've all got some pent up emotion, I think, from the weekend. So we haven't done a podcast since start of the season. I thought we'd have a little break and see how things go. And I won't lie, it's not been great, has it? I mean,
we look good in the friendlies.
Yeah, we did look good.
Yeah, that's because we're playing Gillingham under 12s. I mean, Tommy Fagg looks like a centre forward against Gillingham under 12s.
Do you remember Tommy Fagg? He used to play for us.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's played every position except goalkeeper. I mean, crap in all of them.
I didn't think he's a bad midfielder when he's utilised correctly, but he hasn't really played that much, has he? In midfield,
he's not a fair crack of the whip at all. But no. To use that pre-season as an indicator that he was a centre forward, or to use that pre-season as an indicator that Suarez can cross a ball under pressure, was absolute nonsense. I think we played the wrong teams at the wrong time, and we are reaping the reward of bad preparation.
I would agree. I feel like this has now been our pre-season, hasn't it? And I said it on Saturday when I did that interview. I think I'll tell you what. Rather than we can go for individual games, but there's no point. So I think if I just say my take and then comment and chip in, and then I'll go one by one. You can take your takes. But I thought Worthing was a good result, and in the fact that we had 10 up with 11 versus 11, I thought, oh, you know, this is all right. They're one of the best teams in the league. We've matched them. Okay, we have one shot on target, but I thought we played okay against them. It was a shame that normally reliable Johnny Henley let in a Nick Wheeler goal that wasn't a special goal. Henley should have saved it, but I thought, oh, not too bad. And then Weston wasn't that great going forward, but once again, you've got the excuse of playing Tommy Farag up front. It was clearly obvious by that point he wasn't a National League South striker. Okay, we've got Stephen Payne coming back in. But, I mean, we'll talk about more things. This won't just be a 10-minute podcast and summarise it. But at the end of the day, and I said this to you, Trevor, at half-time on Monday, we scored 3 goals in 6 games. One of those was a penalty. One of those, no matter how much he tries to tell me it was an amazing goal, was a pass slash hit towards the goal bobble. by Lewis Gard. That ended up in the back of net. And the other one was a good header across the keeper, right? So that's three goals we've scored in 6 games, which frankly, and Jay will know this, and it just isn't good enough. Plus then you take in the fact that Dover missed a penalty, Yeovil missed a penalty. We got a penalty against Chippenham that shouldn't have been a penalty. And although we've got 6 points on the board, it could very easily be 2 or even none, couldn't it? So my take is actually, on one hand, we haven't quite clicked yet. But on the other hand, we almost are in a better position than where we actually could deserve to be, if I'm being perfectly honest. And I'm a little bit worried at this point. Although I am assured by some a famous ex-player who will remain nameless, to keep the faith, stick to it.
Sonny Miles.
We'll be okay.
How would he know?
I don't know. On the golf course.
I understand. I hope Sonny don't mind me saying this. I think Sonny paid to watch the game from his house on Monday.
Yeah, he might have done like me.
There we go. Yeah. But that's my short summary of the season. I don't know what you guys think and what your thoughts are.
What I find actually a bit strange this time about this. I mean, if you go back all those years when McKim came in, like the first season, you let him off, don't you? Because he's on a hide into nothing. And then the second season came in and we were sort of behind him, regardless of results. But for some reason, with Jay Saunders, we're very much, sort it out, mate. You're going to sort this out. You told us you were going to be able to, you knew what you were doing, and it looks like maybe you don't. I mean, obviously he does, but we seem a lot less forgiving this time around than we did.
Yeah, well, that's because he comes in with a reputation, isn't it? Yeah, if you bring, yeah, McKim had no reputation. He was on a hardly nothing either way, if you want to be tough. But, and Saunders delivered last year, and this year it's all gone a bit flat. And you're going to get a backlash from that, aren't you?
But don't you think a lot of last season was stumbling into a lucky striker that stumbled the ball into the net? I mean, did he paper over the cracks of a team that weren't as good as we think they were? I mean, is it all really down to scoring goals?
Well, my take on it is that I think the quality of the loan players last season masked the poor quality of the recruitment. And this year, so far, we're just stuck with the poor quality of recruitment. And hopefully the loan players will bail us out again. Yeah. And when I say poor quality, that's obviously seen as a dig straight away at the manager, but you've got to work with what you've got in terms of budget, blah, blah, blah. So, which begs the question, punching above our weight and expectations.
But ultimately, blokes should be able to cross the ball. And when I say cross the ball, I mean pass the ball across, not kick it.
Or float it. Kick it off, bibbly bobbly it, or kick it into the goalkeeper's hands.
I went up to Scarborough, and that was the first test of the team against a sort of like-for-like club. And I thought that a lot of the time, when we got under pressure, we just kicked it forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jay said, no, we passed it. And I thought, no.
We've got one out.
We can kick it away.
Yeah, we've got one out.
Kicking it away, not passing.
The Hail Mary to Suarez on the right wing is our out ball.
Yeah.
And the number of times I've seen that between Saturday and Tuesday is embarrassing. You know, and the poor bloke clearly can't cross it anyway because his conversion rate of stand to penalty area is about 9-1.
It's probably because he wants to come inside and hit it left footed.
Yeah.
You know, is he which foot is he better with crossing? If he wants to come inside, he should be playing on his left foot, he should be playing out on the other side.
Unfortunately, I think the thing is he's got a brilliant first touch. And so if that ball does beat the fullback or the centre back, he's going to do that first touch. But then I know this is now getting a little bit personal and I don't want to on this podcast because I want all, and just for record, anything we say here is all in goodwill. And obviously it isn't official to the club. So it is just our opinion. But he always seems to then unfortunately do something that he's got that 80% and he'll either make the wrong decision or he'll leave the ball behind him or he'll choose to float it over into the keeper's arms rather when he should smash it across the deck.
Yeah, but never. When was the last time you saw a smashed cross? They're all floated.
Yeah, but that's what this is what I've said, and I know I'm not a manager and I know I haven't played football to this level.
Mix
but
it up.
If I genuinely think if you get into that wide position and you smash the ball across the net 10 times, at least one of them is going to go in off a defender. And we always float it to the back post.
Or of course, when he starts, if he's playing.
Yeah. But that's what wound. I mean, I can only speak about Monday from the last two games. But that's what wound me up about Monday. Is it? You could say that it was tiredness from Saturday, but that everything we touched was wrong. We kicked the ball.
But we didn't play very well at Yeovil, and yet we came back. We came back saying we did, and all after half time, we had a spell of possession, and I just thought. Yeah, what we did was we got near the goal and then we got terrified and then started passing it sideways as if to say, I don't have the self-belief that I can take this fullback on. I think he's a bit too good for me. So therefore, it's very easy for me to check back and you can say, well, Higgs had a good game. We didn't have a good game. He just touched the ball a lot because he was in a position when our forwards cat their pants and chickened out and weren't prepared to go down the wings and have a go. It would naturally go into the centre midfield, so he got loads of the ball. But what did he slip a ball through, or did we just bang it out?
We have not, and that's I think why people are all pain us and scored goals. He looks fat, he looks lazy, but no one's given him anything to work with. When do we attack through the middle? When have we run into the box?
Exactly. When
have we given him a chance to stick his arse out on the penalty area and block someone and put it in goal? Because he's the best hold up player we've had for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
You put that ball up to him, it sticks like glue. And someone else is then 30 yards off him, and he's got to try and do something with it on his own.
On Saturday, he ran back from being up front, ran back to the defenders and screamed at them, stop fucking about with it.
Yeah.
Exactly. But this is the thing. And this is, I see on the forum and in the ground, oh, you know, we miss Jordan Greenwich. Is Jordan Greenwich got a club? Is he? You stick Jordan Greenwich in that team and he gets one less goal than Stephen Payne does. Jordan Greenwich does not score in that team. You stick Stephen Payne in last year's team and he gets the same amount of goals, if not more.
Yeah.
I genuinely think he's a better player. But yeah. He's had no service. He's had no service at all.
Yeah,
we're playing with in theory 4 good centre backs, 3 good midfielders, 3 good forwards, but none of them remember that they're playing with the other bank of 3 or 4. In my opinion, we've got 3 good blocks of players, but there's no ball in between each one, and it's just
there's an obsession with getting it out wide and putting crosses in, and that's fine if you mix up your crosses, but we don't. Yeah. We've gone to floating them. I mean, the goalkeeper, free kicks, he was loving it. It was almost like, let's give him some catching practice.
Yeah.
Apart from when we were just smashing it right out of the ground, what was there? One challenge, Cody made one challenge on a goalkeeper at the end.
But did that ever look the other thing that while we're going to get the whinges out of the way in one go? Did that look like a team that was going to muster a last 10-minute Alamo type?
No, that was the thing.
There was not, no passion, no.
You're better
spirit,
off losing 2-0, aren't you?
No guts. Yeah. They were quite happy, and I had echoes, flashbacks of that McKim team of 5 or 6 years ago, where we just got a bunch of has-beens and freeloaders in who just took the money till Christmas, and then he woke up and got rid of them. And it just, it smacked the same for me. There's players out there who don't give a toss. And
I'm sorry,
but that's what it looked like. For 2 consecutive games, they're not interested.
Whether it is that or not, and I'd like to think it's not, and I'm sure it's not, but I agree that's what it looked like. And the reason why I say that is because that was the first game that it reminded me of Warrilow's second from last and last season. And it reminded me of that same season you're talking about under Steve, where it just looked like players made an error, and then it's like their head dropped and they went, oh, I've made an error now. And one player who I won't name because it's not fair, did miss the ball, and then like made a mistake, and then just stopped running and just sort of shrugged. And he went, and you'll probably see it on the highlights, he sort of missed his chance. But actually, had he had that 100%, I can go and get this. The crowd shouted, and then he jumped and realised that actually he should have carried on running and put their defender under pressure. And that was the one that wound me up, because I was like, come on, man, you're supposed to be impressing the manager. You're supposed to be wanting to get in this team. And you've just done that and gone, oh, never mind.
Well, that was the thing that Jay said. His teams would always give 100%, always.
Yeah, and I don't...
But I don't know that they are.
No. But I think, you know, I think we've also got to remember, playing devil's advocate here, that if we were punching above our weight last season, it is a tough league. And I think, you know, perhaps we've got to put it in perspective that, you know, are we as good as we think we are? Maybe not.
Well,
I don't know.
We're playing Slough next, aren't we? We've got Slough. Then we've got somebody on Tuesday.
Braintree
at home Tuesday,
and then who following Saturday?
Dartford away after that.
Oh, we got, and
so
we got
to know in 3 games time. 3 games.
So we
time.
Could we
I
could
think
potentially
we've got win. We've got Taunton. We've got Taunton as well at home.
Oh yeah,
Taunton at home.
Yeah, yeah.
So we could win. We could potentially win the next 3 games.
Yeah, you could win those 3 and lose those 3, depending on which lot turn up.
I tell you what I'd love. I would love for the reaction to this podcast to be, of course, that was a bit negative. And in 4 games' time, we do another podcast and we're all, wee, what were we worrying about? That was all sorted, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We got 12 points or whatever. Yeah, 12 points in 4 games. That'd be great. And I hope it is. And I do think we've got the players. And we've got the players that passion. You can't tell me You know, like the old-fashioned Sonny Bollockin or whatever. You can't tell me that in that changing room afterwards, Scott Wagstaff was sat there quiet. Like, Scott Wagstaff, I'm sure, as a captain, would have been laying into him. And I'm sure there's players in there that, that we have got characters in the dressing room. And I'd like to think that the next few weeks will be those conversations of, if you're not playing for the shirt, then we will see Trevor's famous words of the revolving door, I'm sure, start. Mm. But...
Well, we had a right old guard.
The only difference this year is we need to skip outside it.
Yeah, we had a right old guard against Dover, though, didn't we? We looked all right against Dover.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the positives.
But that's one of those things, isn't it, where you think, well, why are you right up for it against Dover? Come on, let's really get at them. It's Dover.
Yeah.
And then, oh, it's only Western Supermare. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of a... Tuesday under the lights, or we've got to really roll our sleeves up Tuesday under the lights. Oh, but Saturday, it's only a Saturday.
If we had to play Dover and Maidstone 10 times each, we'd win the league because we'd be up for it.
Yeah.
On the upside, can I just say,
yes,
having roundly slated everyone, our defence is quite good, isn't it?
Our defence is good. And that's it. Yeah, I agree.
It makes the one mistake a game.
Yeah.
Don't fall at this level.
But isn't it, actually, it's fair to say that the mistake that we've made in every game, we've been punished, right? I mean, penalty.
Yeah.
Western Supermare, Tariq is daydreaming, isn't he? And then...
Three header.
But if you
cut out the daydreaming, which they probably all do at this level from time to time, yeah, we don't punish those errors. Other teams do. But actually,
we've had a daydream. We could have been unbeaten in the first four games.
Back four, back five, to me, look all right.
Yeah.
Well, if put a positive spin on it, Worthing is an individual error. Weston's an individual error. So then there's two goals that on another day won't happen. We beat Dover. We beat Chippenham. Yeovil, full-time outfit. You take a loss there. And then Welling's the only one for me that stands out as the
really disappointing one. And it would have been a 0-0.
And it would have been. And we'll have to say this, because
if you didn't have someone 5'2" marking someone 6'7", that would have been a 0-0.
Yeah. Or you could, and he's posted this everywhere, and I had a bit of a dig at him for it, but you could argue that it wasn't a corner. It was supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, it's like the foul on Stephen Payne had a 10 ton weight on his head. At Yeovil, when he tried to head
the
clearing header, went up the other end and they scored from it. But, you know, I whinged about that for a while till I got bored with it. But it just, all teams at this level, the defence will make mistakes.
Yeah.
We get punished for them. Our forwards are either, I don't know, not good enough, not in the right position, blah, 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 to punish the other teams.
We're not punishing teams, but we're being punished. No, but we're also once again, it's all we've had a lot of doom and gloom. I don't think we're that far off it. Whether it's one or two player changes, whether it's a change in formation, whether it's a kick up the backside to the same squad, I don't think we're that far off it. And I think
I don't agree with you, Bobby. I think we're some way off, actually.
Do you reckon?
I think we need to make some fairly short, sharp changes in the midfield and the forward line, because there's not a goal in that team at the moment, and that is not far off. There's no goals in that team.
Yeah, fair enough.
Good defence. I wouldn't trouble the back four or five, but in front of them, there's probably only one player who's proved his worth.
The midfield don't score enough goals, do they?
No.
You know, for all of Wagstaff's running about, I wish he got a few more goals. He was willing to shoot a bit more.
I wonder
take a bit more responsibility.
Considering he has been a forward and a winger, etc. Yeah, you would say that.
It just surprised me that his lack of.
I wonder if
to take a shot on.
If I wonder if there's a case of. Yeah, I said this when I spoke to the Yeovil guy on Saturday, that obviously Steve McKim, our team there, was the aim was don't concede. We're not going to score many, but let's not concede. And if the first form, let's not concede. Jay's come in and he's known that was what we were used to. He's tried to get us to score. Admittedly, as you then said, Trevor, if it wasn't for the lone players, would we have actually scored that many last year? Probably not. But we played fun football. We played attacking football. We scored a lot of goals. We had fun. We lost the odd game 3-2. We let in goals. But our defence wasn't where it was. So this summer, right, what do we need to change? We need to secure the defence up. So you could argue we've done that, but it's come, as you say, at a cost of we also don't score. So it's finding that balance, and we don't know the answer, and that's what, good luck to Jay, because that's what he's paid
for. Is finding that's why that I'm a full time manager. I'm a gobby punter, you know. That's,
I guess this is where you get paid, isn't it? This is where they earn their money, and these through these tougher times. We'll see. But you, it'll be interesting. I'll admit this. I've got in from work today. I was still feeling a bit down from yesterday's thing, and I couldn't be bothered to listen to the interviews. And I will listen to them now, because I know you both have listened to them, and you've assured me that there was no excuses had, and it was quite a good interview from Jay and Scott Wagstaff in relation to yesterday's
game.
They
just sounded a bit down, as if to say we've played a bit crap here, which is kind of what you. That's really, if you've played crap,
yeah.
So you know, at least admit it. Don't try and hide it. That's where you want to be.
No, they were all his appraisals. I was quite surprised, because actually Jay calls out two players by name in the, which is interesting, which doesn't work well for them.
At least we can get away with it then.
lack of M product. or not doing what they were told to do.
Yeah.
And that's always one of the great mysteries to me, because we used to, I suppose Steve McKim was the first of our managers in the era of the post-match interview where everybody got to hear it on Facebook or whatever, and he always used to go on about players not following the instructions. And you're like, yeah, right, you've told them, and they were bollocks, and they've done it, and it doesn't work. But after a while, you sit and think, blimey, bro, I can't believe Jay Saunders is saying them, hoofing up to Suarez every 5 minutes. And it must be really frustrating.
I thought that as well, because it's
go out, do this, run into the box, do that, and oh, look, out the Suarez, hoof.
Well, that's what I think. And also, I know I'm saying this on a podcast. I could very easily ask Jay this, and I'm sure he'd tell me whether it's at the ground or whatever. But there's no way Jay Saunders is stood at the side of that pitch. He's seen a lanky 6'5" centre-back and gone, for the next 90 minutes, I want my centre-backs to boot the ball to him so he can head it away every time. That sounds like a plan. So I fully agree. There's no way that's been the plan. It must be frustrating, but I think let's see what happens. So I think we're not far off. I don't think it's too bad. Trevor, you think we're a little bit,
I think we're a bit, I'm a bit further off than you are, shall we say.
So then, somewhere in the middle.
This is the deciding factor, Lee. No, you've got Trevor one end, Bobby the other end. Where are you?
I'm absolutely in the middle.
Just because you've been in the director's box.
Yeah. He's got Dave Nevestrin.
I wouldn't want to upset Ian Clear. He looks like he'd smash me up if I upset him. He looks like a tiger.
Prawn sandwich brigade. I've lost
you. I don't know, really. We'll see, won't we? I mean, Fag has asked to go. That's a weird one, Fag asking to go, because obviously Fag scored some in pre-season, and now maybe it's got into his head that he's a star turn, and maybe he isn't, you know. Maybe,
he can cut it at a lower level, but not this one.
If you look at what's going on at Chatham, he's likely to get 10 times the money at Chatham. It's something's going on down there, isn't it? I mean, they're top of the league. They're getting massive crowds, way more than we're getting. And the places are dumb.
Did I hear a very clever joke there by you, Trev? Did we all miss that? Did you say
it was totally unintentional. Please make me feel good and tell me what it was.
He said Tommy Fag, maybe he can cut it at a lower level, but not this level. Cut it. He's a hairdresser.
I meant it. I meant that. Pretty well spotted. I thought you were
going to
pick that one up.
He's the butt of all your jokes.
That's interesting. So it'd be interesting to see if anyone else comes out, or if he's requested that. But is there room for is this where we start to dip into the loan market? I don't know. I'll tell you what though. I think we missed. I know I'm going to be biased here. I think one of the players we missed the most is Jack Wood, because he really come to light at the end of last season.
Where is he now?
Oh, he's still at Southend, but he won't go because he's part of their 15-man squad.
Well,
and he can't.
But he might be out of business. Give him 6 weeks.
Yeah, give him 4 weeks. Tunbridge Angels might be the only ones wishing for that to go. No.
Yeah.
But I think Jack Wood we sort of missed him. Santos as well, obviously. The players we miss more are those creative players rather than Greenwich, because as we say, we've got a like for like and a better player at holding the ball up in paint. He just hasn't had the opportunity to show it yet. On a more positive note, this is not necessarily positive. We had 1,300 through the gate on Bank Holiday Monday, but once again, Tunbridge Angels don't show up on a Bank Holiday Monday when there's a big gate. Great. but it's good to see them still coming through. Prize like an angel. I mean, there might have been a bit of a queue, teething problems. Let's not moan about the queue because it's their first time. Let's give them benefit of doubt. I had my first portion of chips. Did either of you have any chips?
Yes.
No.
No? Right. So, Lee, I will say my infernal because I think mine will be positive and yours will be negative. But what do you reckon about the chips?
I had to pop this evening to get a bucket. This is a very interesting story. I had to get a bucket this evening to help top up a fish tank. It's the kind of life I lead. And my parents were had fish and chips, and I had some leftover chips, and they were considerably better than the chips at the football ground. But then chips from fish and chip shops always are. I mean, I was banging on about wanting fried chips or fries just because we don't have them, but I couldn't give a shit about them one way or the other. And I never did. I couldn't care less. And my mate queued up and he got me some, and then he put curry sauce on them. And I don't really like curry sauce. And this is Kent. It's not Yorkshire, and I don't want gravy on my chips. Other than that, I thought they were brilliant. 10 out of 10.
Oh, brilliant. There he is. Oh, I love you, Lee.
Well, that's the truth. I don't care about chips. You know, if the queue, if I'm there and the queue's 1,000 miles long, let everyone else queue. Good luck to them. I'll just go out the other end and get a pie or something.
Yeah, well, at least we've got the option. I had nacho chips. I thought they're very nice. I thought the chips were nice. The chips were what you expect. They were the same chips as what we used to have years ago when that guy used to run the we used to do hot dogs and chicken burgers.
Oh, the grumpy chip fella.
Oh, what was his name? Was it Smith? Round the other side. I used to like the one round the other side.
Smithy's Munch.
Yeah, I thought he wasn't grumpy. He was nice, that guy.
Yeah.
They were the same chips as you. They were proper football standard, not fish and chips, chips, but they were standard football chips. I thought it was nice to have. I mean, I went all Mexican. I had the nachos one, which was very nice.
Do they offer you like a cone of chips so you don't have to have all the shit on them?
You can get that. Also, very reasonably priced. A cone of chips, and you might not disagree with this, but it's £2.50 for a cone of chips.
It's not the price, it's whether there's more than three in there. Like,
can you? That's true. You can have too much choice, right? So you can have nachos, chips, curry chips, ones with. I don't know. What else? What were the other options?
I think you had nacho chips, chili chips, gravy, curry sauce, or standard.
Mushy peas, I hope. So I will go with that. A bit colder. I love that.
Mushy peas?
Yeah, I think someone
food
said they...
Gods. Food of the gods, Lee.
During lockdown, during COVID, right, I went into Sainsbury's in Tunbridge on the Friday, and everyone had completely stripped like hornets, right? And I walk in and the only thing left in the shop in their millions are Brains faggots, which nobody wants to eat. So we'll probably get some of those and put them with our chips. Mushy peas.
You don't know how, you just, you're soft Southern Jesse, I'm sorry. You just don't know how to live.
So I can be the one here to be the decider. And I am for mushy peas. I like mushy peas.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
2-1. That's it. We're in. That's the first time of the season. No,
but don't you think the fact that there's too much choice and having to do 27 toppings means that the queue is going to...
Possibly. But that, you know, you've got to give it to him. It's their first time teething, you know, issues. And also, fair play to him. Sophie's husband, Brian, was behind there serving the whole time, helping out.
And, oh, was he?
But yeah, I was.
You recognise him? So you're not sat next to him in the director's box.
Yeah, so. I thought you're. Oh, that's probably why you got a seat, because they were on holiday.
Yeah.
You turned up and said your weekend name was Sophie.
I know. I did. I sit next to him at Scarborough. Actually, you know, I like to hobnob with these people. They're my kind of people.
So let's before we finish up, let's talk about.
Are we finishing? I've got anywhere near half my list.
Oh, go on then. Go on then. Right. So I was trying to keep this short and sweet today. Go on then.
We've got Hope and Glory to go out next. Come on.
Here we go. Oh, let's get really negative.
I wrote them. I sent them an email saying I'd like to buy one of your hoodies, but I'm a bit concerned that it's got the wrong badge on it. And I just don't want, I just want to make sure that when I order, the right thing turns up.
Yeah.
What did they say? I haven't replied yet, so I haven't bought one.
No.
I was quite fancying buying a £30, a £7 polo shirt for £29.99 and thinking I was getting a bargain. I could have bought four at Asda and got the local school uniform company to stick the badge on for nothing.
They're certainly not the same quality as the ones that the team have got.
They could stick the old badge on because it's not copyrighted.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh. Controversial.
Where's the gilets?
And those nice jackets. There's some really
stuff everyone else gets, but not us.
There's a lot. Once again, is it teaming issues? What's going on?
They've got a bloody stop list. As long as you're on for everyone else, they just have to stick the effing badge on it. Wait till someone in Bangladesh.
That is true. They only have to sew our badge over the top of the Basingstoke badge.
Yeah.
Because they've got like superior, they've got really nice fleeces, rainproof jackets, all sorts of stuff. And we've got, I don't know, what have they been done a charity shop and said, what's down there? Let's just sew this on.
I have to say, I will agree with you here, and I know this is now going to become a rant, and sorry, but we've got overpriced t-shirts, we've got a home and away kit that if you want to order it by Christmas, well, you better have ordered it last week. The club shop's got hardly any left in. If you want to order anything, you've got to do it online. You don't get your owner's discount. They've got no system in the club shop. No one seems to know if they're coming or going. And it's supposed to be this amazing new company that we've got all this merchandise. You've got bucket hats. You've got this, you've got that. And all you can buy online is nothing there. So jury is massively out on that. The positive is I think the home kit and the away kit design are lovely. But once again, I want to order a large away shirt, but I'm very reluctant to pay £50 for a shirt that actually as an owner, I should be getting, not having to pay postage and also getting my owner's discount. Yeah. And I think that the whole thing is a complete farce, if I'm honest. And I don't mind saying that publicly. I've voiced it in an email to the club.
Did you get a reply to your email?
I did, yes. I actually got a good from the club, I got a very nice reply and a helpful reply.
Oh, that's the club, so not Hope and Glory. Okay.
Yeah, I got So the club, and this isn't anything against the club. So if anyone's listening from the club, this is, you know, fair enough. We don't know the ins and outs who, but my dad Billy did get an email from Hope and Glory a couple of weeks ago, so before the season started, because he was unsure about the timing, and they replied back to him straight away. But everyone else is saying they get nothing from them. Apparently, they've got two members of staff on their books for this company. I don't know if that's true or not.
What they should do is find the local. I'm sort of hands up, Danny Ralph. This is your favourite bean pole there, Lee. His advice. He is a teacher, you know, head teacher or whatever, and he should go to your local school uniform provider, because if you say to them, we want this badge on this shirt on a Friday, it'll be there on a Monday. You don't have to wait any length of time. It'll cost a fraction of what it is. We've been done. We've been had over. We've been suckered in. A bog standard school uniform provider in West Peckham would have that stuff stacked up in boxes on a weekly
basis. It's only sewing a badge onto a bit of kit.
Yeah.
I know this is a bit different, but you can say the same thing. I organised a stag do, and I wanted a certain thing printed on a T-shirt, and there's a printing company in Southend. It was a nice quality T-shirt. I can't remember what they charged me, but for the service and the printing and everything, it was cheaper. I know it's a bit different to football club, but it's much cheaper than one per T-shirt than it is for this. And exactly that. There's companies, I know I'm in South Bend, it's different, but there's companies that can do all this stuff.
Why can't they? Different football shirts, but when you're down to hoodies, T-shirts, polo shirts, it's as cheap as, well, not quite as cheap as Angel's Fries, but it's almost
Hang on, let's find some positives. Paying £5.50 for a pint of Heineken, is that a positive? The walk out music.
Is there a golden goal?
Yeah, what's happened to the golden goal?
Well, they sacked off the bloke who used to do it, and they haven't got anyone else to do it in his place because they didn't think ahead.
Yeah. The program's now got Trevor's rubbish in the back of it.
Oh, absolutely. They need a filler for that. I haven't got a finance director either, I don't think. Or a general manager, or I don't know. It's apart from that, it's great. It's just.
The scoreboard doesn't work,
and the PA doesn't work, but we're ready for the National League. Come on, Tommy!
Do you know what? I've loved being on the side of the board, and it's been nice running Fly Like an Angel.
if you edit this, this is the last one I'm doing.
The fact is that
there's been eyes taken off the ball, and there's some big fat egos getting in the way at the moment, and they need to just button up and get on with it and stop thinking they're running Manchester City and remember where they are.
Well, yeah, we haven't cracked it. I think we thought we cracked it when the crowds went up and the season started, and we haven't. We are still little old Tunbridge at the moment. We're not middle-sized Tunbridge.
We're not there yet, are we? We're not there. There's lots of TV.
It's still a work in progress, but, you know, we seem to have maybe stagnated a little.
Don't worry, we've got the FA Cup in a couple of weeks, Lee.
That's
going to kick our season off away at Bromley. It'll be brilliant.
Yeah.
FA Cup run would help us out massively this year, wouldn't it?
That's something interesting.
It would be.
We get bloody Dartford, wouldn't we? Dartford away or Bromley away.
Welling.
Yeah, same old.
I'm hoping for Cray Valley Paper Mills away. Actually,
I'd love that. That'd be good fun. At least it'd be fun, wouldn't it? Do you see? They beat our youth team 5-0, and Macca replied to that saying, "Well done."
They scored more goals in 50 minutes yesterday than Tunbridge Angels have scored.
Isn't that because didn't Macca dress up like a schoolboy and play in that game though?
took out three midfield, took out three 17-year-olds. Don't matter, they're wearing the badge. Fuck them.
Not only that, he let his sunbathe go, but put some stilts on him so he could reach the crossbar.
It's not back, gentlemen. It's an absolute joy.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. This would be next time we do this, it might just be the three of us having a rant and it might not be public. But there
now, next time we'll all look really stupid because we'll have done 6 wins in a row and we'll look like a bunch of twats.
Next time we record, we'll have been won all the games. We'll be into the FA Cup. We'll won our FA Cup game. The chip queue will be 5 minutes.
T-shirts for 12.
Yeah, we'll be wearing our winter coats with the Angels badge on it. There'll be there'll be 2-day postage on away kits and we'll have all won the golden goal.
And there'll be really nice hot dogs.
There's no such thing at football in the UK. You should know that.
Once again, I used to love the old hot dogs from that same old the geezer that was random. They were good,
they used to have really, really good hot dogs at Lewis.
Lewis food was good. Lewis is still one of my favourite grounds.
Let's hope they have a good chance to get promoted, but then they've got Tommy Wood playing up front, so they probably won't.
How is he doing? Anyone see how he's doing? I haven't looked actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing all right.
Joe Taylor's filling his boots at Ramsgate. I saw that. What a transfer that was. Going down two leagues and just getting paid probably £600-700 a week to bang in goals against numpties. He must be loving it.
Yeah, yeah. There's money flying about down there.
Oh, serious.
There is. Yeah. There's, and as you said, I know you touched on it earlier, Chatham, you look at their attendances. Even Faversham are in the Kent League, aren't they? They're not even in the...
Yeah. Here is a Belvedere or another one. They're paying £500 a week to a centre forward.
Which then puts all of our moaning in perspective and how hard a job it is, maybe.
I think it comes back to the recruitment. It does. If you want to go full circle, we are... The amount of money in this league still seems to be getting bigger. You know, you come down Maidstone, Yeovil, Torquay... You know, their budgets, I know people go, budget, but their budgets must be stacks more than ours, let alone Chelmsford and some of these others. I sincerely hope we're not a bottom four club, but our budget is certainly bottom half of the table.
This is being realistic. This was genuinely part, and I said it when I spoke to the guy at Saturday, I said, it is a much tougher league this year. So if we was in last year's league with last year's budgets, you had Ebbsfleet, and then there was probably a few that weren't too different. You've got your, but now you look at it this year, as you say, Torquay, Yeovil, you've got
Worthing,
Eastbourne, Chelmsford have always got a reasonable budget, Maidstone, and then you know,
Auburn, that's a ticket price, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of those things. So you do.
Dartford are still full time, I think, aren't they? Yeah. There's full time teams in there. So actually, yeah, you are right that our budget and is we all want to win every game, we all want to get promoted, blah blah blah. But actually, is the playoff if is saying we want to get playoffs.
And the key difference last year was Jay Saunders' quality in bringing in loan signings. His connection, made the difference, and that's what's going to have to make the difference this season.
And I'm confident, that's where I'm confident it will, because of his reputation, because of what we've done before. And I do think that's a big difference to where we were before. We struggled with loan players. How many times did Macca say, our players don't want to come here because of they don't want to step up a level or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And we never had any excuses like that for Jay. He got in the players. Yeah. And he went to Charlton to watch Dylan Gavin. They trusted him with Jeremy Santos. Bosch,
yeah,
had a quality player around him. So he's going to
I hope he can dip into the old Santa sack fairly early this year, because we're going to need...
Yeah, yeah. And an FA Cup run will help. But there we go. I always wonder that, right? Here we go. This is a question that someone can laugh at me ask. If you're on the edges of a team and you're playing an FA Cup game, right? Now, I guess they must get a bonus or something, because otherwise you're sat there thinking... Oh, if we win this game, they're going to go and get £40,000 and I'm probably going to be gone next week. Does that ever cross a player's mind? Or is that rubbish?
Well, not at Tunbridge, no, because the
chance... I do wonder, you know, like if you win, get promoted from the Championship into the Premier League, right, and you're one of the teams that shouldn't really be in a... Like Luton is a really good example. I wonder how many of those players are thinking... Well, that's me down here then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're going to have to release me over the summer. I struggled this season, and there's some proper players up there. And I'm, you know,
you just do a Hugo Lloris. You just sit back and just pay me, mate. I ain't playing. I'm on a contract.
You just fall in. Or just fall into your own net and break your arm on purpose. You know, something like that.
They're going to release him now. That's
are they?
Yeah, he's gonna go on.
Well, that still means paying him off, though. So didn't
Exactly. Yeah, they're trying to negotiate as before the end of the transfer window. They're trying to negotiate a deal with him, which is just ridiculous. But also, one thing whilst we're here, and I'm wearing this badge for those of you who can't see, it's the cockerel.
I could just see some strangled chicken on top of a
volleyball. Is it about? Yeah.
It's on top of a pile of money going not to be used by any manager.
Yeah,
I've it's made me laugh how he's doing all right. He's doing all right over in Germany. But
of course he will. He's a good player.
Oh, of course he is. But I'm also a bit over it now. I'm like, yeah. So I wish him well, and I've unfollowed him on Instagram and stuff because I'm just a bit like, I don't want to know.
Oh, harsh.
No, I wish him well. But I don't want to. I'm kind of a bit like, I want to focus on my teams that I support, Tottenham and Tunbridge, and I want to hear that Harry Kane's done well and done great. But I don't want it to be shoved down my throat. Not that I don't wish him well. But yeah, I'm just like, right.
To be honest, I take the other view as I'm not a Spurs fan.
Yeah,
I'm delighted to see him go and shove it down people's throat by doing well somewhere else, because the amount of disparaging comments.
I agree. Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Because
the Germans have some fun as well.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you, and I hope he does it, and I hope he because he can hopefully he does something that can shut all those people up that say he's not a world class striker, because he is the best at what he does. But yeah, but then look, we've had players like that at Tunbridge, haven't we? Where
world class strikers? Jeez, you'd be dreaming. What are you on?
We have had world class strikers at Tunbridge, haven't we? Who have we had at John May?
We haven't had Colin. There you go. It's the last one.
Right, here we go. We've got them in. We've got the usual three in this. Anything else? Oh, go on, Lee.
I was just going to say, there was a time when we used to get these really crappy teams with really, really good strikers. So what's happened? Why don't we get these really good strikers anymore? Where are they? Don't exist.
I think the game's played differently now, isn't it, as well? Like, I do think it's hard. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't got an answer.
Right, you're one more thing. Can I have the one more thing?
Yeah, go on. We didn't have an answer for Lee. Move on.
This is referees, okay? All sorts of old stuff, right? But we've probably had, we've had six games, and in every game, either 10 players, more or less, have been booked, or two. And we had one, Welling, he let the game go, he booked two. Yeovil, he booked everyone, including half the crowd. And then there's another game where they book one, and the one, what's going on?
No,
and
are they
the same bloody rules? Either book them or don't.
Yeah.
But they just see, if I was the manager, I'd be tearing my hair out. At the inconsistency and the way these same old, new rules are being applied, because it's nonsense.
Yeah, it's absolutely no consistency. I agree. No, I think there's no consistency. I don't think Mike Dean's helped.
I've seen a bad foul. I've seen half a dozen games this season, and I have not seen one bad foul in any of them. We've played has wanted to play football. We haven't had any blockers, kickers, blah. We haven't had any cloggers. We have, because Concord had gone and whatever. And things, they managed to put nine players for sort of, I don't know, blowing their nose or kicking the mud out of the studs on the pitch. It's just nonsense.
There's been no consistency. The summary, I know I wasn't there, but Johnny Henley telling the referee that the ball wasn't on the spot. Getting a yellow card for telling the ref the ball wasn't on the spot. And then the referee picking up the book, moving the ball. Because it wasn't
the best. You did it five times. You can just do it
the
once.
The best booking of the season.
Not get the ball on the spot.
Yeah, yeah.
The best booking of the season for me, though, was in the first game down at Worthing, where the ball went towards the Worthing bench and the bloke went to side foot it back onto the pitch and shanked it into the tree behind him.
Yeah, got a yellow
card. And the referee came over and kicked that into the tree behind him, so have a yellow card.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just trying to side foot it back onto the pitch and got it wrong.
But that was like fresh, wasn't it? But that's the thing, there's no consistency. And there's no consistency in what yellow cards are given, but also in the time added on. Now, here we go. Here's another little moan. We don't know what time's added on at Longmead anymore, because we aren't told anymore, which that needs to be sorted.
But I don't know who's responsible for that, but...
No, but we haven't got... No one's adding on.
The referees meant to have the bench, right? And they're meant to have... And then the old boy, the new kit man, well, the old new kit man, then holds up the number, doesn't he?
There's enough people sat there.
Enough batteries or something.
Even do the old fashioned way. Get the cardboard back. Mind you, they probably haven't got 15.
You need two arms for 11.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But no, that's so there we go. Little rant again. That needs, please get
tell us shoddy what added thing. Time. It's little things like that that make us look skanky.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the scoreboard doesn't work and all that. And the PA still doesn't work after 2 years. Just get a fucking grip, guys, and do the basics and worry about all your fancy Dan hope and glory nonsense another day. Can we just sort out some of the stuff around the ground?
There's a lot of basics that need sorting, don't they? But yeah.
I'll tell you what, having a stadium manager, that'd be good. Oh, we had one of them. Or general manager. Oh, no, sorry. We haven't got one of those either. Sort that out.
But yeah, so going back to our point about that, though, is that the referees are really mixing up what they're adding on, aren't they? Like, there's no consistency.
Yeah, but
there.
it's not just in our league, though.
Oh, it's across the board, yeah.
It's across the board.
Yeah, it's not.
Do you think that is some of the younger referees are terrified of not being, you know, like they want to be fast-tracked, or they're terrified of what's going to be said if they don't give a million cards? And some of the older ones think, I don't agree with any of these new rules. I think they're a nonsense, so I'm just going to continue to referee it the way I did referee it until I get told otherwise.
I think much like most of the issues we've brought up here, I don't know what the solution to what I'm about to say is, but I think the whole FA system, from knowing referees who ref just below this level and across the board, I think the whole system from bottom to top needs reforming. Now, I don't know what that reform will be, but there's the way that they do it, the way that they're exactly that, Lee. They don't want to get it wrong. They're scared of not getting their promotions and stuff like that. Some are arrogant, and some of them are footballers that haven't made it as footballers and are just absolute dickheads. Some of them are. Like, I'm one of my best mates, he's a referee, and he has been a referee. He's reffed at our level not that long ago, and he's not a dickhead. He's a nice guy. But some of them are. But then you look at the Mike Dean thing, where he's admitted that he didn't want to, you know. But I've said this all along. You see it at our level, right? If you're on the line and you've rocked up to the game and you might know that ref, or you might not, but you've got on with him, he's a nice guy, and you're the lino, and it's a little bit hostile. There's people who have, and you think, well, that was offside, and that's why linos don't flag, because they're helping out their mate in the middle rather than doing what's best for that game at that time. And then you could put it back on us and say, well, is it our fault? Is it too hostile on refs and stuff like that? But if they had discipline from the start and they did it well from the start, and if a player turned around and said, for fuck's sake, ref, and they gave him a red card, then that would never happen again.
Yeah, they only get hostile when they make mistakes, though. I think, you know, there are games you go away, and then you think, well, that referee was good. We can't really see or hear him. And, you know, he did the staff and the liner. And the guy at Yeovil was just priceless. He was so far on the line.
He couldn't keep up with pay.
The ball. It was staggering. Yeah. And he thought it was funny. He thought the abuse he was getting was funny. He was laughing.
That's what annoyed me about the guy, the ref we had against Western, not this time round, but when he was the ref when we played Hemel away, when he didn't add on the right amount of minutes, like now. But he just was just being arrogant when he walked off, when first we were being reasonable in our conversation with him. I actually thought the referee on yesterday,
he was good.
He did nothing wrong, other than apparently it was supposed to be a goal kick rather than a corner, and they scored.
I've got a solution.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, every player gets given a taser. Right?
Yeah, and they can use
But it's only got one, you know, shot in it, and they can use it any time during the season on any referee linesman, but only once.
Oh, can we add in a bit more fun with this? They can use it. They can use it on a referee linesman or one fan.
Oh no, I can't take the pain. I'm sorry. There's only so many times I've been tasered in the season.
They're only allowed to taser from the waist down.
Sonny Miles, like, all right, Jay, yeah, can you just give me some forms just for one game? Yeah,
yeah. Right. Re-register myself.
I'm going to get that bugger for all the things he's said over the years.
Do you think he's enjoying not playing?
Yes.
I think he's enjoying golf.
Yeah.
Hello, Sonny. He'll be listening. Hello, mate. I'll get a text at some point, probably saying, Cor, you three were a bit negative, weren't you? It's not all that bad, Bob.
Maybe that's what it's needed, to play it a bit like someone. I know they've probably got respect for Wagstaff, but even if they didn't have respect for Sonny, who knows if they did or they didn't, he would have told them.
Yeah,
and he was kind of part of the furniture. He was, you know, nice one.
Sometimes you need someone to scream and ball people out, don't you?
Yeah. I kind of wonder if that's Parky now, though, because Parky's the one that's been here a time. I don't know who plays what role, but you'd think that'd be Parky. But...
Not from the sidelines, though, is he?
No, fair enough. Oh, Blackie. I wouldn't want to cross Blackie. I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to cross Jay, if I'm honest, but I might find out.
I was very disappointed there, because you said,
Bobby,
I wanted you to call him Jay, but you didn't.
Jay is.
You let yourself down now, Parky, Blackie, Jay.
That is a traditional thing, isn't it? If it was just add E on the end of a footballer's name, and it Jay, short as E. Yeah. Right. Anything else before we?
No, I've done my list. I'll leave the silly boys and the archers behind the goal to see whether they grow up. I think that was everything else on my list.
We got three wins coming up, haven't we?
I think we should have. We should.
What, Dartford away? Are you sure?
Yeah, we haven't won there for ages. Go on. I remember a 2-2 draw. I don't remember winning there.
No, I don't remember winning since we moved there.
Well, let's set that. That's our target, Jay. If you're listening to this, because I'm sure you've loved every minute of it, and you listen to the very end, we an away win at Dartford, and all is forgiven.
There we go. Yeah.
Amen.
We drew 1-1 there. We've drawn 2-2 there. I don't think
we should have won there. We had a goal disallowed, didn't we, for offside that wasn't.
Yeah. That's the one. I think we drew, didn't we, that one?
Yeah.
That's a tough place. Even Slough and Taunton were tough games with last year, but we should. They're games we've got to win in it, because if you look at the improvement on last year, it's win those kind of games.
Slough last year was that game where it was so hot that the goalkeeper went off the pitch and stood on the stand to get out the sunshine.
The pitch was melting, wasn't it? There's a melting plastic pitch. And the year before that, Ricky Modeste got his he got injured and then staggeringly couldn't play again all season whilst taking his money.
And then Johnny let in a soft one, didn't he? They two players collided.
Well, it's a rail strike next weekend, so that one's sorted for me. Someone else can be the miserable bastard.
It is a dismal new ground, isn't it?
Soulless there, isn't it? It's just
a horrible, horrible Weatherspoons-esque thing in the middle of town. It's the only pub and it's a ghastly place.
Yeah. So we've got Slough, then Braintree at home. Hopefully they bring the right kit this time, because I'm not convinced that our home and away kit isn't a bit of a clash. So
we've got two home games in Dartford, have we?
Slough away this Saturday.
Yeah.
Braintree at home on the Tuesday.
Taunton
at home on the Saturday, I'm pretty sure.
There must be an FA Cup game somewhere.
And then it's FA Cup the following week after Taunton.
And then
Dartford away on the 23rd. And then that's
how we've got a blank.
We want someone crap at home.
Because we'll have been knocked out of the cup.
We want someone really crap at home, don't we? From
Hemel.
We can whack 5 past.
Yeah, Hemel was the next one. 7th of October, Hemel, looking at the list.
Oh, okay.
That's the nearest we get.
I'll tell you what, another little moan that isn't about Tunbridge Angels, so no one can take offence to this one. I'm the guy that does the league. We ain't half had a shit fixture list this year, haven't we?
It's dealt us a poor hand this year.
Yeah.
Dealt us a poor hand.
Like just.
But it's our own fault, isn't it? But we've got to play them all at some stage, isn't it? Someone had to go to Worthing on the first day, didn't they?
Yeah, but even like Taunton, like no one's going down to Taunton 2 days before Christmas. Like, and Western Super Mare in January. Pretty much now.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but then if they had to come up to us, no one's coming all the way up from Taunton 2 days before Christmas. I mean, every game for them, or Truro, every game for them.
Yeah, but forget about them. They're all West Country people. Forget about them. Prioritise the Kent boys, you know. We're the Londoners, you know. Worry about us. So I think the fixture list has been pretty bad this year. But yeah, so I think that's pretty much everything, really. I think we've got.
I think we slagged off everyone. Now we can go.
Yeah, it's pretty much no one that can leave that and go. Yeah, do you know what? I feel like I come away positively from that.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we've offended you, apologies. We'll be back next time. If I tell you what, if we've offended you, come on. Come on next time. Oh, there we go. but yeah, and I think also we've been majorly positive even through bad times since this podcast has started. So I think I don't think we've been too bad, and I think that I think it is what it is. Everyone's got thick skin. Jace,
I don't think we've been negative. I think we've actually been truthful.
Yeah. Truthful. Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair.
You know, that sometimes you can mix up the two. You know, now that we've got 500 extra fans who want to see the good in everything, you know, it's there for us old turds to tell them that actually we're only really polishing a turd at the end of the day, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. I just said yes to that. Yeah, well done. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
and on that note,
all we're doing is polishing a turd. That's all we're doing. There you go.
That's the name of the podcast.
Polishing a turd. So how's it going, Sophie? She's really good. You know, how's it going down there at Tunbridge? You know, I'm just polishing a turd. It's all I'm doing. Yeah, it's all. It's not really worth it, if I'm honest. on that note, have a good evening, lads.
And you, well,
if we all survive, I'll see you in a few weeks.
Yeah, quick, send your bills back in EastEnders, quick.